We have been talking about believing is seeing, because you know the saying, seeing is believing. We all, have heard that. Well, how about in the Bible? In the Bible, it says that believing is seeing. In fact, we have to put our faith first in most everything that we do, because a lot of times God tells us that this is yours, but we don't see it. God says, I love you. And we don't believe it because, we're like, really? How could God love me? I'm this or I'm that. I've got these problems or I've got those problems. And I'm struggling with this and I'm not quite there. And God says, it doesn't matter. I love you right where you're at. But God says, I love you enough not to leave you there. Enough not to leave you in your struggles. Enough not to leave you in possibly addictions. Enough not to leave you wherever you are and wherever you shouldn't be or wherever you don't want to be. And God loves us that much. We've been talking about believing is actually seeing His love. And the longer that you believe in Him, the longer you walk with Him, I'm not saying that your life is just going to instantly get easier and better, but you're going to see that love and you're going to see it in action. When Jesus heals, we talked about this last week, He heals physically, mentally, and spiritually. A lot of times we talked about different physical healings, and we're praying. We're praying for a lot of people who have illnesses going on, things going on. Just because we believe in God doesn't mean that we're totally separated from the world and all of its problems. No, we're not. We live in those problems, we struggle with those problems, but with God, we have a greater hope. We see Him mentally because our mindset starts to change. Our mindset starts to change. I don't know how many times God's changed my mindset about a situation. About how many of you have ever been in a job that you just absolutely did not like? Or, maybe you were in a job, it wasn't that you didn't like it, it's that you hated it, right? Or maybe you liked the job, but you just, didn't like the people around you. I remember myself saying, this would be a wonderful job if it wasn't for the people that we had to serve, right? I mean, there are so many things that our mental attitude God wants to change, and He does that. Or how about our spirit? God really works on our spirit. Because without Jesus, our spirit is a black hole. And once we say, Lord Jesus, I want You in my life. I want You as my Lord and Savior. And we ask Him to start filling up that black hole. He just nudges the darkness out of there. A lot of times you just really feel breakthroughs with God. You really feel like, wow, something really cut loose. But you want to know something, as you walk in life, and this isn't to discourage anyone, this is to encourage you. As you walk in life, God pours His Holy Spirit in the middle of you, in the middle of your very essence. He pours His Holy Spirit and he just brings more light and more light and more light. It's like if you take a muddy glass of water or even a glass of ink, and if you just continuously pour clear water into that, eventually that glass is going to be full of clear water. And we're going to talk about clarity today. Clarity of heart. God wants us to be clear. Am I clear on that? He wants us to be clear. And God wants to be clear with us. And not just He wants it to be clear, like He wants you to know, but He wants us to be transparently clear. And we're going to look at that scripturally. You see, in Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I just kind of skimmed over this last week because God gave me so much. I knew that if I stopped here, we would have never got a lot of the stuff talked about that we talked about last week. But we're back here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Okay? Matthew means this. When he says this, Jesus is saying this in Matthew. Jesus is saying, your heart needs to be in the right place in order to see God. And what does it mean? Okay? If we study this scripture out, if we dig into the meaning of these words, it's kind of amazing because it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What does that word pure mean? Okay, think about it. You know, what's pure mean? Well, 99.9% pure is ivory soap, but that's not good enough. I remember those commercials as a kid, 99.9%. I was always concerned about that 0.1%. What do they put in that, you know? But I know, and I was just, that's the kind of kid I was. But God says, I want you to be pure. What does that mean? He says, in this word, it means to be clean. And we understand that, right? To be clean. But that word also means something that's amazing. It means to be clear. Now, I touched on that a little bit already. To be clear means to be what? Well, I understand what you're saying, but to be clear means to be transparent. It means God wants us to open up our heart to Him. Now this, a lot of times people, well, God can see my heart. Yeah, He can see your heart. He can see your heart. But you want to know something? A lot of us, we're having God stand on the front porch looking through the front door glass, and He can see our heart. God says, I want you to open the door so I can get closer so we can look at things a little bit more intimately. A lot of us, we got God sitting out on the front porch. Now, thankfully, on our front porch, it faces south, and even in the winter, it's kind of nice, and we've got a couple of chairs out there. And as I was studying this, I thought, how many times have I just had God sitting out here on the front porch? I wanted Him to monitor everything that came into my house. I wanted Him to take care of me and protect me, but I really didn't want to let Him in and to open up my heart to Him and to let Him inspect me, to be clear, to be transparent with God. How many of you have ever been that with something? It's like, not quite there, God. Just sit out here. You can wait. And God says, no, those that are pure in heart, those who have a clear heart, those that have a clear heart, they will see God. And this is a heart that is open to God. This is a heart that just says, okay, God, here, I'm opening the doors. And this is a heart and a spirit that is yielded to the examination of God. Man, and it is so hard. Because we hide things from God, but we really don't. He's God. Right? How many times in the Bible do we, you know, somebody runs away and tries to hide from God, and God's, you know, He's there. Hi. I'm still here. Waiting on you. I'm waiting for you to open up your heart. I'm waiting for you to be real with me. You know, Solid Rock Church, we have a saying. It says, we're a real people serving a real God. We're real. We share our stuff, you know? It's like, man, I need some help here. Please pray for me. And God is real, and we know that God will be there for us. See, we find out when we open up our heart to God, we find out that we have a heart problem. All the signs and the tests verify that we need surgery. And I shared not too long ago that I was struggling with something, and I was just not being nice to Cindy at all. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, Jim, here's all the symptoms. I can see that you have a heart problem. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, if you have a heart problem physically, you find out about it. What do people do about it? They do one of two things. They either ignore it and try to stay away from the doctor, or they just embrace it and they go to the doctor. And you know, you can ignore it, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. And it's the same way with our spiritual heart problem. We need to just say, okay, God, I am ready for you to do surgery. And in that instant, I was very evident that I was just not being nice at all. And I was just short, you know. I was being nice to everybody else. But, you know, Cindy was taking some of the heat of a struggle that I was having. And finally, I just gave the struggle to God. And I said, and the next, it was a Saturday, we're going for a, and Cindy says, you know, we need to talk. And I said, is it because I've been a total butthead for like the last month and a half? She like looked at me and said, I gave it to God. And I said, please forgive me. And if you see any of those symptoms come back, please let me know. Because I want to be different than that. God wants me to be different than that. And that's what we're talking about in believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Believing in God, we see things and we let God into our life. He already sees them, but we let him in. We basically crawl up on that operating table and we say, God, here's my heart. Please do something different with it. Please. Now, I want us to look at a story of a man who had a very clear heart. And it's in Mark 9. It's a pretty long story, but we got to read the whole story so we don't miss anything. It says Jesus and two of his disciples had been up on the mountain. They'd been praying. And the story is that the glory of God surrounded them. And God said, this is my son. And, you know, had a big prayer meeting upon the hill. Okay? Jesus and two of his disciples. The other 10 were down with the crowds. And there was stuff going on. People were still bringing, you know, people to the disciples. There was ministry going on. Well, Jesus is coming down the hill. And it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. No, teachers of the law arguing with them. There's a lot of people who like to legalize religion and they like to argue with you. And you just don't give them any of your time. It doesn't do any good. And it says, as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. And Jesus said, what are you arguing with them about? And it wasn't so much Jesus was saying, what are you, he's like, just ask him, why would you argue with these knuckleheads? You know? He says, why, what are you arguing? He asked, and a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And Jesus says, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Remember last week we talked about in Jesus' hometown, there weren't a lot of miracles that happened when he was there because they saw him as Jesus the carpenter. How many people in this world see Jesus as Jesus the teacher, Jesus the good man? And you see, as Christians, we need to see him as Jesus Lord and Savior. And he's saying, how long is it going to take you guys to understand? I'm God, okay? So they brought him, the boy, and when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? And the father says, from childhood. It has often thrown him into the water or into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And at that point, can you just see Jesus looking at this man? And a lot of times I think we think that Jesus used a very condemning tone. Like this, if you can. When in fact, if we read about Jesus in the love and the compassion and the grace that he was always disposing upon people around him, I'm sure Jesus looked at the man and he said, if you can? More like that, Jesus said, for everything is possible for him who believes. If you can. And then, immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I want you to focus on that. We're going to read the rest of the story, but think about that. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you come out of him and never enter him again. And the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. It's like, you didn't heal him, you killed him, right? Boy, isn't that the world, right? And then Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus has gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. Now remember, before Jesus came down the mountain to the crowd, he'd spent a good deal of time praying. Time with the Father. Now, this is an amazing story, and we can learn so much in this story, okay, about a lot of different things. There's so many truths in this about faith and healing and believing. But I think that the main point that the Holy Spirit's trying to show us today is this. The point is a man's desperation for his son and his clear heart. His clear heart. Remember, since childhood, this young man had been afflicted. We don't know how old he is, but we know he's not a child. You know, since childhood, maybe he was in his 20s. The father had to basically be with this boy 24/7 because the spirit within this young man was trying to destroy him. He was trying to destroy him. And can you imagine the desperation in this father? This father brings his son to see Jesus, and Jesus isn't there. And he's probably saying to his disciples, "Well, where's your teacher? Where's the teacher? Where? And they're, "Well, you know, he's up on the mountain." "Well, when's he going to be back?" "I don't know." Like our little grandson David right now, you ask him a question. "David, where's your socks?" "I don't know." And they're like, "I don't know." And so the father stayed there. And in the process, what happens a lot of times is we bring our stuff to Jesus. And what happens is we start talking with people who say, "Well, you know, your stuff's not being dealt with because of your unbelief." And the dad's like, "Well, maybe that could be." Or your stuff's not being dealt with because, you know, you've got some sin there. Well, and the teachers of the law, the religious people of today that believe in the legality and not in the relationship of what God's got going on here, they will say, "Well, you know, this is it. Try this. Do this. Do that." When in fact, there's a lot of misconception about how and what Jesus wants to do in our life. We got to go right back to the core of what does God want to do with us. He wants to love us. And there are people around us that make decisions. There are demons around us that have assignments against us. And we're in the middle of that, and we need to always come back to the very thing is look, it's not because there's sin in my life. One time I was dealing with a situation, and somebody said, "Well, you know, maybe it's because you got sin in your life." I really didn't need to hear that. I wanted to say, "Kiss my grits." I wanted to say worse than that. But anyway, I looked at this person, I said, "Really? You think there's sin in my life, huh?" And they said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "You know, you're absolutely right." I said, "From the day I was born, there was sin in my life, and there's going to be sin in my life until I die. But I don't think that's the issue right now." I said, "My heart is clear and clean before God. I came to you to just get a little bit of comfort and a little bit of prayer support, and you're telling me there's sin in my life." That's a religious, legal person. You know, you go to somebody and say, "Hey, I'm struggling with something," and they'll say, "Let's pray for it. Let's help you through it." You know, it might take a while. Jesus said, this kind only comes out by praying. How much praying? We don't know. We shared a story. Cindy shared a story about our oldest daughter. You know, I shared that story in 5 minutes, and it took 5 years. And that's what we're looking at here. The dad says, "Look, I'm come to find the teacher, and I want the teacher to touch and to pray my son because I know that he can do this." And then we find, once Jesus comes, and notice when Jesus shows up, all the religious, you know, legal people, they shut up. You know why? Because he'd already shut them up many times. You know, one of my favorite with Jesus, one of the favorite stories I love is they bring, you know, this woman to Jesus. "We found her in adultery, and the law says that we're supposed to stone her. You know, what are we supposed to do?" You want to know something interesting about that story? Is they brought the woman, but in Hebrew law, if a woman and a man were found in an adulterous affair, they were both supposed to be stoned. So I'm thinking that one of those Pharisees was the other guy. Because Jesus says this, he says, "I want the person with no sin to throw the first stone." And those guys started walking away, the oldest first to the youngest. And Jesus says, looks at her and says, "Hey, where's your accusers?" "Well, they're not there." You see, anytime we're in a situation where things are really getting tight and somebody starts accusing us instead of loving us and helping us, they're not working for Jesus. You know, unless there's an intervention that needs to happen. Sometimes that happens. But usually when we see what, we got a problem, I need some help. The last thing in the world, you know, somebody that loves Jesus is going to do is like, well, you got sin in your life. Well, you know, maybe if you just do this and do this. It's like, no, it's like, let's sit down and let's pray about this. Let's let God open up your heart. You've opened up your heart to him now. Let him see it clearly so that an amazing thing happens. Once we let God, give God permission to see us clearly, you know what happens? We start seeing ourselves clearly, and we start seeing God clearly. Because it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So if we let our hearts be clear before God, not only is God going to see what's in there, but we're going to see what God's about. We're going to see what God wants to do. Isn't that cool? It's not a one-way mirror glass. It's both ways. And God says, I want to see what's going on here. You see, the Father pleads with Jesus. Look, hear his heart. How many of you, our hearts are there all the time, aren't they? We go to God and we're just pleading with God. We are that person pleading with God, either for ourselves or for someone else. And he pleads with him, and he says, if you can do something, please have mercy, have pity on us and do it. And Jesus looks at him. And you know what Jesus sees, first of all? Jesus sees the belief that the man has. He sees the faith that he has. He's not putting him down. He's saying, if you believe. And the man looks at Jesus and he says, I do believe, but now help me in my unbelief. He's saying, God, I'm not quite there in this. Could you help me? God, I've struggled with this. I've had this in my life for so long. I don't even know what it's going to be like to not have my son in this condition. And Jesus says, if I believe, all things can happen to those that believe. He says, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. You see, the father of this son opened up his heart and he made it very, very clear to Jesus. He made it very, very, look, I'm here, and if I need to be further, please give me whatever it takes. Now that is a bold and scary prayer. Because sometimes what God gives us is a little bit more difficulty. Crack something open, to grow us, to strengthen us. Sometimes he faces and we have to go ask, oh, you want to know the scariest thing in the world? This is a scary thing, to go ask somebody for help. It's scary. You want to know something? Because you're being vulnerable. You're admitting something. And the Bible says, take your prayers and your needs to one another. It says that the prayer of a righteous man and woman avails much. The counsel of a righteous man and woman avails much. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. And the thing is when we make ourselves vulnerable, first of all, to God and say, God, here's my heart, look at it. Secondly, okay, God, I need some help. That's why we have our men's study, why we have our women's study. That's why we have coffee. That's why we text one another. That's why we're on YouVersion. That's why we do all of these different things to build community so that we can say, look, I need some help. I need some help here. It's hard. And we do that. But the Father says, I believe, help me in my unbelief. And the Father opened up his heart in this story. He made it clear. He made his heart so clear to Jesus. Here's where my heart is. Please help me. So I encourage you this week to go ask somebody for help if you got something going on. If you haven't before, first of all, ask God. Say, okay, God, I got this going on. And I believe that you're there. This week, I talked with somebody who's going through a crisis of faith. And why do I say it's a crisis of faith? Because they believe that God exists. They just don't know how much of their life they want to hand over to him. That's a crisis of faith. You believe in a God, okay? And I think they thought, well, I'll just throw this out of the pastor and he'll give me some theological formula. And the lights will open and the stairway will be very, very clear. And I said, I totally understand what you're going through. Really? I said, yeah. I said, I've had a crisis of faith many times. So what? Like to the point where you didn't believe in God? I said, oh, I've believed in God. I believed that He exists. I believed He's there my whole life. But I just, there was a time I didn't believe He loved me. Really? Why? I said, well, can't go into that. It's kind of personal. But it did involve possible jail time. What? I said, yeah, there was a time when I really questioned my salvation. There was a time I questioned so many times. It's called a crisis of faith. You believe that God exists, and you just want to know more, right? Yeah. I said, no problem. I said, this is what you do. And he goes, what? I said, well, you've already done most of it. I said, you've admitted it to somebody, and now, can I pray for you? Well, sure. I said, okay, let's pray. And that kind of freaked him out a little bit. Like, right here? I said, well, yeah. Well, can't you get fired? This is a college. I said, hey, I was looking for a job when I found this one. We prayed. Crisis of faith. He says, well, now what's going to happen? I said, it's up to God. He knows that you want to know more. He knows you want to know Him. He knows these things. Okay? Now just open your eyes. Start looking for Him. And he says, that seems kind of easy. I said, well, you want to know something real easy? He already loves you, and there's nothing you can do for Him to love you more. I know that it sounds easy, but it's not. It's simple. But it's very hard because in this process, we have to continuously open up our heart to Him. We get to a place where the glass gets cloudy. And we got to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you go ahead and wipe it off. And the Holy Spirit does. And that's what God is saying. This week, go to God and say this. God, I believe. Help me in my struggle. God, I believe You're there. I believe in You. Help me with my unbelief in something. Lord, this thing's been going on for a long time, and I don't know. I just don't know anymore. Lord, help me. And then ask Him, help me make my heart clear. And this is why you want a clear heart, so that you, Father, can see me clearly and I can see you clearly. And like I said, God already sees you clearly. You're just giving Him permission to come in the front door. And when you do that, there's a whole bunch of promises in the Bible that I could tag on to this for this morning. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians. I want to end with this promise. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. It starts with a prophecy that's written in Isaiah. It says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. It's a part of the Old Testament. But here's the New Testament, the new covenant, the new promise in Christ Jesus. But God has revealed to us by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? You only know your own thoughts. That's what the Scripture is saying. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But we have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. That's what Jesus is all about, is showing us how much love He's given us, how much grace He's given us, how much everything He's given us. Like I said, it's not easy, but it's simple. God loves us. Love Him back. God sees us clearly. Now let Him in the front door. God knows what we got going on. Now admit it to Him and maybe share it with somebody else so that you can, like the man in our story this morning, so that you can come before God with a clear heart and say, Lord, here's where I'm at. Help me. And he got help. He got help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love us. I pray, Lord, that we would just accept you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. I ask that, Lord, we accept you for more than just a teacher, more than just a prophet, more than just a historical figure, but we just ask you to come into our life as our Savior, as the one who died for our sins, as the one who went to heaven, and when you went to heaven, then the Father sent the Holy Spirit to show us everything that we need to know about you. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to just admit we believe, but we need help. And in that confession, Lord, I pray that you would show us more and more and more of you. Give us guidance and direction and power and healing for everything that we're going through. It's our prayer, Lord, this morning, and we know that you'll answer it because you're a faithful God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.